Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And this week on Flash in the Pan, we are simply going to realize the truth. There is no spoon.
We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we am. Flash in the Pan.
Flash in the Pan! Hi, and welcome to another episode of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
This is the podcast where, look behind you, off in the distance, it's coming closer, it's gathering speed, it's close enough that you can see the whites of its eyes and you can see the message etched onto its t-shirt in pink sparkle pen, and the pen says, Flash animation. We're going to talk about some Flash animation.
Yeah.
We have a couple of things that I adored growing up,
yeah.
And that you were similarly infatuated
with. I definitely saw The Matrix had to you.
Yes.
And...
Oh, don't spoil it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what we're doing
well,
first.
Well, that is what we're doing first. I definitely saw that, and I definitely saw one of the other creators' animations, like... a few times.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to preface everything by saying that, as always, you can go to our website, flashinthepancast.com, and you can see all of the links to the videos there, so you can watch along and enjoy it with us. It's a bit like a book club, but with animation.
Plus, like, it will make a lot more sense.
Yeah, no, it's going to be... I mean, also, spoilers for all the Matrix films.
Oh, yeah. If you've not seen them all yet... Somehow. Well, I haven't seen the last one.
Have you not seen the last Matrix?
I haven't seen the last Matrix.
This is going to spoil some stuff for you,
I'm afraid. Oh, well. I mean, I probably already knew, to be honest.
Okay, well. Anyway, see the Matrix films. They're good. And
yeah,
the sequels
Matrix
aren't as
good.
Bad as you've been told.
No, they're really not.
IMO.
No, I don't think they are.
Right,
I
so.
Think good.
Without further ado, shall we get on with it?
Let's get on with it.
Okay, we're going to dip into The Matrix Has You.
The problem is choice! Vis-a-vis systemic anomaly.
And we're back.
We are back.
The Matrix had us.
It did.
That was a glorious little slice of 2004, I think, is when that came out.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So why don't you start us off?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of little bits of animation from animators we've covered previously.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that basically all of them, well, the ones we previously covered, have improved quite a lot.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's fair.
Yeah. There are a lot of like quite easy jokes.
Very.
But they're still, the execution is really like spot on in a lot of cases. So it's still really funny, even though it's like a very simple joke.
Yes.
Would
you say there aren't a lot of surprises here?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no like Potter Puppet Pals sudden pulling of like
machine guns. Yeah.
Well, we
did get the opposite of that.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, let's go in short order.
Okay.
Because they also follow the order that they happened in the film trilogy.
Oh, okay, I didn't realise that.
Yeah. So let's start with Metal Maverick.
Was that the first one?
Yeah, the first one. Which is the Spoon Kid.
Yes. Yes.
I would say the least well out animated of the bunch.
The least interesting one.
And the least interesting one, yes.
Yeah.
It's just the scene where Neo visits the Oracle for the first time and the bald English boy tells him about spoons.
Yes.
But in this case, the bald English boy sounds like an old woman from Monty Python.
Yeah.
And yeah. Also there's a child that is just Beavis from Beavis and Butthead.
Yes.
Because fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did like the early joke that Morpheus is just gonna go and steal some shampoo.
That
works on a couple.
That works because he's got no hair.
It does,
and that's funny because he doesn't need shampoo.
Yeah, I also genuinely like the idea of like this all powerful mentor character just like going to do some petty theft just on the side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, there's graffiti on every surface. I do like how it says that on the wall outside the Oracle's flat that that Oakleys are sold inside. That's a great way of dating this cartoon.
Yeah, there's always something that dates these things.
Yeah, if only there was like a 2015 remake, it was like Tims are being sold inside. Yeah, there's not that much to say about the first one, really.
No, there isn't. It's literally just the scene when Neo goes to the Oracle.
Except Neo can't bend the spoon. Neo can't bend the spoon. So he tricks the child.
And then he bends himself.
Well, no, the child bends Neo.
Oh, yes.
Using the same powers.
Yes.
Yeah, and then right at the end of the clip, before it transitions into the next one, because we watched them all in a sequence, right at the end of the clip, you hear a piece of audio from previously in the scene start and then cut off, because that was just an audio glitch that never really got fixed.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Oopsie.
The next one was the fight in the chateau, which is where in The Matrix Reloaded, Neo is trying to escape the chateau. The Merovingians... Merovingian? Merovingian? The French vampire
You're
dude.
Asking the wrong person.
Yeah, anyway. Trying to escape the chateau, and then there's a big fight with lots of medieval weaponry and that kind of stuff. And in this one, it's a bunch of like really stupid cartoon weapons. And it's very pleasing.
Yeah,
like just in terms of slapstick, there's some really great stuff.
It's some very satisfying jokes.
Yeah,
again, it's very simple, but like the fact like he stops all his bullets and then someone just kicks a volleyball into his crotch and he's like, oh,
and they pelt him with eggs.
Yeah,
but then he catches one, and the Merovingian's like, oh. One thing I really liked is the fact that every time we see the Merovingian, he gets more cartoonishly French.
One, including going as far as having a big plate of frog's legs? A plate of frog's legs and, like, a ring of garlic.
A string of garlic around his neck, yes. in my notes I just put, Merovingian gets Frencher.
He did.
We have a couple of cameos in this as well. Including an unexpected one from Astaroth from Soul Calibur.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. I have seen it before. I forgot about that part.
Yeah, I mean, this was like 2004. Soul Calibur 2 was the new hotness.
It was.
So, yeah, why not? But, like, why Astaroth of all the characters? The big burly axe dude.
Someone, one of the Super Flash Brothers, really liked Astaroth.
I mean, that's fair. And and then Neo scares him off.
Because he reads the strategy guide.
Because he reads the Soul Calibur 2 strategy guide.
And then he, like,
guide.
Pokes him in the face. He's like, you always take it too far.
That was quite sweet.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the... One of the baddies just blows up a balloon and licks his finger and rubs the balloon.
Yeah.
And, like, that would fuck me up. So...
That's very relatable.
I can relate,
yes.
Yeah. Also, I really like the blow-up banana.
The blow-up banana is
the
funny.
It's just one of the best melee weapons in anything,
in
really.
Anything.
Just a blow-up banana will improve the situation.
Yes.
So a couple of things that date this.
Mm.
First of all, we've got a cameo from Obi-Wan Kenobi, but like episode 2
Obi-Wan.
Specifically
Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Who fails to get his lightsaber and then, like, seems to have some kind of heart attack.
Or something, yes. And then he says, I have a bad feeling about
this.
He said the line! And then there's the very funny scene where the guy runs into the, like, through the doors.
Yes.
And then he opens them again and he's inside, like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Painting.
So if you remember, in the original scene, like, right at the end, the Merovingian escapes through some doors, and then Neo goes to the doors after him, but, like, it's a completely different place.
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere. It's like, aha, he used a Matrix thing to get out. But in this one, no, he's just, like, painting it like in a Roadrunner cartoon.
And then he opens the door again, and then
There's a guy on the loo.
There's a guy on the toilet, and then it's,
Oh, yeah, and then it's Lord of the Rings, and Legolas shows up to be annoying.
Yes.
Because, like, again, as we've said before, early 2000s, it was The Matrix and Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. And for a certain class of people, by which I mean teenage boys, Legolas was just the worst. Because he was pretty and good at fighting. And, like, that was...
And that's why, yes, teenage boys hated him.
Yeah, well, like, we couldn't understand that, you know? Like, what? Oh, wait, what? But pretty does not mean good at sword and bow, you know? And, you know, just describing my thought process as a 13-year-old.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously, dunking on Legolas... I mean, dunking on Legolas is fun all the time anyway, but this was particularly of its time, I think.
Mm.
Also, there's, in terms of dating it, there's one really... At one point, a baddie is knocked into the base of a statue, and the statue falls down, but it's the statue of Saddam Hussein, which mirrors the jubilant footage from the 2003 Iraq invasion, where a bunch of Iraqis are pulling down this huge photo of Saddam to, like, cheers and so on. And then, like, there's like a little American flag wave, and it's like, ooh, oh, yeah.
And Neo stops very briefly to, like, salute, doesn't he, or something? Yeah. Oh, I wasn't expecting that. That was maybe my favourite joke, just because...
It just came out of fucking nowhere. Yeah. So there were some surprises in this.
Yeah.
Next up, we had... The rave, the Zion rave.
Yes.
And this might get a bit PG-13, in the original Matrix Reloaded, the Zion rave is basically Morpheus declares a big party and then everyone dances and fucks.
Yes.
Like, everyone. Correct.
Yes, yeah. That happens, yes.
Yeah, including Neo and Trinity in a fairly awkward scene.
Yeah, I remember it.
Which,
and feeling awkward.
Yes. Which Luke de Aurora, is that
yeah,
how you say it?
Luke de Aurora, yeah.
Yeah, he just declines to animate that
He's
part.
He's just like, nah.
Yeah, and so
which is fair.
And so he does his own little Luke's Adventures in the Matrix thing, which is quite sweet.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, and that was the bit that felt the most, like, webcomic-y to me.
Yes.
In that it was, like, each little scene was, like, just a clear, like, four-panel joke.
Yes. I did enjoy him taking both the red and blue pill at once and his head falling off.
Yeah, his head just falls off.
I like that.
Yeah. Before Luke's adventure, we do get a little snippet of the big dance party, and there are all these clip art and video game gifts and sprites.
Including Christopher Robin.
Including Christopher Robin, which I was tickled by. Mario is there, so we can't escape SNES Mario on this show.
No, he's everywhere.
So is Michael Jackson from Moonwalker.
Yes.
Doing the a moonwalk spin. And also the banana from Peanut Butter Jelly Time.
Because it's 2004.
Because it's 2004. And that's just the coolest thing.
That is the coolest thing.
Yeah.
I never liked it.
That's fair.
I never liked it.
No, that's entirely fair. There are a couple things I did write down about this short. First of all, in the background of one of the scenes, we see a big picture of Fiesta Cat. Okay, so story time. Fiesta Cat was an early viral image on the then up and coming Something Awful forums, which is a picture of a very fluffy cat wearing a party hat and sunglasses and blowing a party whistle.
Fiesta Cat.
Yeah, Fiesta Cat.
Yeah.
And that image went so viral on the forums that even mentioning it would get you banned.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Yep. And I believe that's just the reference he's making. Which even in 2004 was an ancient meme.
That's probably why I don't remember it.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
I mean, I didn't spend a lot of time around Something Awful until like 2012, so...
Yeah, for your sins.
For my sins, yeah.
also, right at the end of this particular short, he just says, woot, which I
enjoyed. That's right, yes.
Which we've covered previously as just an exclamation of triumph.
And also, we owned the other team.
We owned the other team.
Yes.
Yeah, the other team being a lack of flash animations about the Zion Wraith.
Yes.
Okay, next was the Burly Brawl.
Mm.
The brawl, the Neo versus 100 Smiths thing.
Yes.
Which, at the time, like, in that movie, like, that was one of the best bits.
Mm.
Like, that was one of the very coolest things in terms of the special effects, in terms of the choreography, in terms of the music. The music they use, pretty much all the music they use in these shorts is from The Matrix. And the music in The Matrix films is very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, so the Burly Brawl is John and Richard Zerbe's.
Yeah.
Whom we covered last time when we did our epic discussion of Perfect Kirby. This is post-Perfect Kirby, and you can tell that they've learned a lot about choreography.
Mm-hmm. A lot. Probably from making Perfect Kirby.
Yes. Yeah. And they're definitely using the same models of Agent Smith.
Absolutely. It was funny, while we were watching the fight, I was like, oh, it's nice to see a well-choreographed fight from them that doesn't involve, like, a half-naked woman.
Yes.
But then... in one scene, there's a poster in the background with a half-naked woman, so I'm like, never mind.
Look, they understand their audience.
They
okay?
do.
And their audience...
I can't fault them on that.
Their audience want 2D boobs rendered in Flash 4. The fight itself is quite similar to the Chateau fight in terms of... Mm. Because the scene is basically just one big punch-up.
Yeah.
And so, pretty much all of the jokes come from subverting your expectations of what's going to happen in a big punch-up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, a bunch of Agent Smith clones being late because the Cubs were in town.
Yeah.
And they're still wearing, like, the big foam finger and pennants and so on.
Yeah, I liked when he tried to pull the pole out of the ground and then just grabbed it out of a bin that said, poles, they're good for hitting.
Yep. Yep. Also, one thing that is throughout every appearance of Agent Smith in all of these shorts, like, the people are doing their very best Hugo Weaving, and sometimes it really works.
Yes.
Like, right at the end of this one, when the Smith pile happens, one of the Smiths just leans in very close and goes, "I'm a monkey, Mr. Anderson."
Yeah. I was going to ask you, like, what is that? Is that just lol random humor, or...?
I don't remember whether or not in the films Smith taunts Neo with, you know, with talk of humans being basically monkeys or not. There's a similar speech in the first film that he does with Morpheus.
Maybe it's reference to that.
But that scene is mostly talking about how bad humans smell.
See, this is the problem with covering old Flash stuff, is that you can't tell if it's a reference or just someone being like, haha, isn't that funny when I say, like, pie or something.
Oh, don't. We'll get to pie in a later episode. I have one in mind, don't worry.
Yes.
Other great stuff. After Neo breaks out of the Smith pile, one of the Smiths is just in a chair and lands perfectly fine behind him.
Yes.
Which is pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, Neo just puts a bag on his head with some sunglasses written on.
Yes. And everyone's like, where did he go?
And
then he falls over and the bag falls off. And then they can see him. Which is kind of like a continuation of the joke where when Kirby wears a hat and no one can tell that it's Kirby.
You're right!
Kind of.
It's become an author signature.
Yeah. Also, they have a sort of continuation of the joke where someone parachutes in and then just lands face first.
A bunch of Smiths arrive in hang gliders to ride the Valkyries.
Yes.
Another thing I wrote down is that right at the beginning, where Smith is like gearing up to fight with all of his other Smiths, they're all just doing an action pose, but one of them's doing like a Cossack dance.
Yeah, that really got me.
Yep. And it's really fun. And in the scene with the pole where he like runs in a circle around in the middle of the crowd of Smith, like that looked pretty cool.
Yeah, that's fairly faithful.
Yeah. Like you can tell that especially this scene was done out of an absolute love for the source material.
Yes.
And yeah, because like none of it's mean. It's all really just charming and fun, and like, wouldn't it be funny if...
Yeah, it's an homage to The Matrix. It's not, like, poking fun at it.
No.
Well, it is, but in, like, a kind of a, wasn't this fun kind of way.
Speaking of poking fun, though, the last two shorts are less generous to the source material.
Yeah.
So, we've got The Architect, which is just a short little skit with one joke.
Yes, it's good, though.
It is.
I enjoyed it, yeah.
Yeah, we start with a looped sound effect of Neo walking, and then it turns out that the architect is just a doll
with a pull string.
Yeah, and every time you pull the string, he says something like pseudo intelligent.
Yeah,
vis-a-vis, ergo, systemic anomaly. He sounds a bit like Homsar.
Yeah, a little bit.
And that's the joke.
That is the joke. It's a good one though.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. It does basically boil down that scene quite well, I think.
Yeah, that's basically it.
That is basically it.
And then the final fight. The final fight is some of it's quite faithful to the film, to the original fight. You haven't seen the last Matrix film.
I haven't seen the last Matrix film.
Okay, so I can tell you that, yes, the final fight does happen very similarly.
Right.
So, like...
They fly around the city.
Yeah, basically it's one Neo versus one Smith while all the other Smiths watch. and...
Which seems silly to
me. Well, no, because it's made to be like a final test.
Okay, sure.
Kind of thing. You know, like his final conflict with his evil opposite,
right,
if
okay,
you like.
Sure.
And, you know, and so they're both perfectly matched. And, mm-hmm. like, they're flying around the city, they're throwing each other into buildings and stuff, but in this one, they just have a little slap fight. And one of the best lines in all of this, which is, "I've got your nose, Mr. Anderson, and I'm going to keep it."
I really like the dramatic build-up, which is just silent slap fight.
Yes.
It's very funny.
You don't even hear them connect, like... No, you just like, watch them...
No,
like...
there is a sound effect for
is
it.
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, it's very one, quiet.
Which is maybe why it was so funny.
Okay, yeah. No, that's fair. And they just shove each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they turn into balls of light and bash together, and then they crash. And then it's the end, and all the Smiths start disappearing. And just before they disappear, one of the Smiths declares that he likes another Smith. But then they both disappear, so that's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at the end, everything's sunshine and rainbows. And look, it's all the characters that you got to know in the sequel films.
Yeah.
And one of them just outright says, "This ending sucks." And then it zooms in on a plaque on the bench.
Oh, yeah, it's in loving memory of the Wachowskis' credibility.
It's like, ooh,
which
okay.
Which is a bit unfair.
I guess Joseph Blanchett, a.k.a. Legendary Frog, was not a fan of the way the Matrix Revolutions ended. Honestly, a lot of people were.
That's, I mean, okay.
A lot of people came out of Revolutions, like, very disappointed with the ending. And I can see why.
Yeah.
I can't disagree, but I can see why. I can see why, especially after all that build-up and all the hugeness of the final fight and everything, I can see that being kind of a damp squib.
Sure, yeah.
And I can see why... I mean, like this is a time where, like, angry nerds would more likely make, you know, flash animations about their grievances than, like, send the Wachowskis death threats.
Or make, like, a half an hour long, like, video that no one's going to watch.
Oh, I guarantee those videos exist nowadays.
Absolutely.
I guarantee.
Probably. Yeah,
you know, like the, you know, grumpy movie Dan here with another 45-minute takedown of the Wablowskis Matrix trilogy, or should I say, shilogy? Oh no, are you okay?
Oh, that was so fucking dead on. Okay.
I'm going to start that YouTube channel and I'm going to make dozens of pounds.
You're going to get 10 whole subscribers.
Yeah, all I need is like some bookshelves full of metal CDs and like maybe a D&D monster manual. And then
a skull.
Oh, I need a skull.
You need a skull.
I don't have any skulls. Oh. Okay. So yeah, so that's... That's the Matrix has you.
That is the Matrix has you.
And
it's good fun.
It is good fun, yeah. Like, it's a nice little picture of where, like, fan grievances were at the time, I think.
Mm.
But it's also, like, an expression of love and almost like a longing of what could have been.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there are some parts that I'm surprised didn't make it into scenes. Like, honestly, like, I would have liked to see a jokey original meeting between Neo and Trinity in the club. That could have been fun. You could have had a lot of fun with all, like, the weird hacker geeks around.
Mm.
Or even, like, the lobby scene.
Yeah.
But then I suppose at this point, the lobby scene would have been most lovingly parodied in the documentary N64 game Conker's Bad Fur Day.
That's, yes, it was very, quite well done.
That's the Matrix Hazard.
That is the Matrix Hazard.
So, you're going to tell us some cool stuff as
there are some things, yeah. Go on.
Yeah, as we enter a flash.
Yes, there are things that I looked up about the people involved who were not the Zerbe's brothers or the Super Flash brothers.
Or Legendary Frog.
Or Legendary Frog.
Yes.
So there was Chris Bow. He has been posting new grounds since 2003.
Mm-hmm.
His latest movie is from July 2017.
Oh, wow. So he's a contemporary.
Been, yes, yeah. He's been making movies forever, or a long decade time since 2003. Hasn't made anything since July 2017, so nearly a year, but I mean...
Even so.
Yeah, that's still quite good. The latest movie he's uploaded is an episode, the latest episode of a series he appears to be making, starring an anthropomorphic cat named Lloyd.
This is the one we talked about in the first episode.
Is that the one?
This is Lloyd.
It's Lloyd?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lloyd, this is the Cinema Snobs cat detective show.
That
he and Legendary Frog have been working
on. Maybe we'll get to that. That's the second mention of it.
Yeah. Lloyd strikes again.
Yeah, he's done a bunch of stuff, a bunch of collaborations for Legendary Frog.
Yep.
Couldn't really find much personal information about him other than he's listed himself as a graphic designer from Illinois on Newgrounds.
Fair enough. So he would also be excited if the Cubs were in town.
Yes, he would. there's also Metal Maverick, who's been posting since 2002, but unlike Chris Bow, hasn't made anything since 2008.
Oh, wow, okay. So do you know what Metal Maverick's doing nowadays?
So the most recent activity I could find for Metal Maverick was from, oh my god, 8 years ago.
Crikey.
In 2010, where he posted... made a post looking for a female voice actor for a film he was making called Cyberdog.
Cyberdog?
Cyberdog. The role was for a poodle named Miss Cassandra.
Oh my goodness. Okay, I'm sad that it doesn't seem that ever got made.
I would absolutely
watch Cyberdog starring a poodle lady called Cassandra. But also, for non-UK listeners, Cyberdog is kind of the UK equivalent of Hot Topic.
Yeah, well, yeah,
but
a bit
more legit.
Yeah,
a bit more legit niche. Goth cred.
Yeah,
but still, Cyberdog is an 18 and 20 something shop.
The local Cyberdog's gone now. By the way, it's been replaced by
what?
It's gone. It's been replaced by some like legitimate actual clothing store.
Oh no.
I know, I was really disappointed.
I can't believe that even goths are getting gentrified out of the marketplace.
And
Hashtag politics.
apart from being involved with The Matrix Has You, which I'd seen before, he's also previously made another movie I'd seen before called There's Something About Halo 2.
Oh, that's on our list.
It will definitely be on the list after this, if it isn't already. Luke D'Aiora, again, there's not much about him around. He appears to have done some variations of, like, the Strawberry Clock, which was popular for a while, yeah. Including an animation called One Up Clock Saves Everybody.
Well, thanks, One Up Clock.
The only other thing I could really find is that he registered a web domain of seagulldance.com.
Seagulldance.com.
There's one post on it titled Booty in all caps, which is a test post from February 2016. And there's nothing else on the site. He hasn't made any movies posted on Newgrounds since 2006. The last thing he posted being Valentine's Day for Luke.
Aww.
And that is it for everybody else who wasn't super, super notable in The Matrix Has You.
That's fair, yeah.
There's not much personal information, it's just what you can find on the Newgrounds page, really. But
yeah.
there's some good stuff.
Yeah, no, I will be visiting seagulldance.com.
Yes.
So we should finish up our Matrix chat with some comments that you found for us.
I found some pretty good comments.
Okay, why don't you start us off, because they're all a bit short.
Yeah, so Wallpaper Man in 2004, the year it came out, said, "Wow, I'm the first one to review it.
Yay.
Anyways, it was okay, but I think this will be overrated and make it to number one of all time." Which it shouldn't. 4 stars.
Did it make it to number one of all time?
I don't know. It probably did.
Let's see. Sco Revenge in 2005 said, "Decent, or in other words, very good. Hilarious." 5 stars.
He seems to be confused about whether or not it was decent or very good.
I think he just had his thesaurus open.
I think you're right. Giorgio 15 in 2008.
Wait, Giorgio from Roundabout?
Possibly.
The best limo driver.
Maybe. He said, Wicked, JNR.
Wait, hold on. How are you spelling wicked?
W-I-K-I-D.
Nice.
JNR, you wear the best. I mean, well, you know, 5 stars.
I'm glad that Giorgio 15 means well.
Yeah.
And finally, we've got Death to All 12.
Mm-hmm.
I like that there were 11 previous Death to Alls. This is in 2010. I said, yeah. The shit? This is fucking fantastic. Brackets, 20 exclamation points.
It had actually.
Oh,
it actually had 20, about 20
okay,
exclamation points.
So it's
points.
Actually, this is fucking fantastic!
Yes.
Right, okay.
5 stars.
5 stars. Cool.
Generally well received.
Yeah.
Not much negative stuff about it, really.
Yeah,
stuff
I mean, like, this was a big collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised that, like, it was pretty damn popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. So, we've been grabbed by the Matrix.
We have.
So, next up, I'm going to take you even further back in time to the wasteland of 2001.
Oh my god.
For the first 3 Joe Zombie episodes. Now, before we watch, I will say that the first 3 episodes were uploaded in 2001, and then later on were remastered and re-uploaded. So, as a little experiment, we're going to watch the first 3, and then we're going to watch the remastered 3,
mm-hmm.
and see how we feel about them.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go with Joe Zombie.
Cut my life into pieces, this is my last resort!
And we're back.
So that's like, that's the first stick figure thing that we've covered.
Yeah, we finally got around to violent stick figures.
Finally.
And it doesn't get more 2001 than violent stick people.
No.
And this was one of the biggies.
Mm.
This was pretty much my introduction to Flash animation back in the day. I was 10, and my friend Peter in primary school he got a new computer, and he was showing it off for me. It was like a Sony Vaio.
Wow.
Which in 2001 was like, ooh,
yeah,
fancy.
Very fancy.
And he showed me this little site called StickSuicide.com. And Stick Suicide was sort of created as a competitor or arose at the same time as another violent stickman animation site called Stick Death. And there was a little bit of a rivalry between the two. And Stick Suicide's creator was a guy called Rob Denblaker, who is the guy who made Joe Zombie.
Mm.
It all comes together. And so, one of the first ever Flash animations I watched was Joe Zombie. And
wow.
It stuck with me.
I don't even remember what the first Flash animation I saw was.
That's probably a blessing.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, so let's talk about the original trilogy first.
Yeah.
So this was like the raw, early efforts. And you can tell it's early, because there's no background music. There are very, very few sound effects, apart from, like, stock clicks and screams and so on.
Mm.
And yet, the violence and the surprise of it is actually fit pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's surprising. You kind of, like, guffawed out loud.
Yeah,
the first time that the zombie ripped a guy's brain out and ate it.
It's just so, it's so violent that it's comical.
Yes.
He always pulls the brain out and eats it. Let's just.
Well, he is a zombie.
He is a zombie, yes.
Yeah.
But they don't always eat brains.
No, they don't. I mean, in this universe, they do, I suppose. Yeah. Yeah, and all the dialogue is conveyed in just word balloons.
Yeah.
The only sound effects we get are stepping and then violence and screams.
Yeah.
We have, yeah, so Joe wakes up, he goes to a bar, and one thing I noticed in the first one is that the barman is bottomless.
I didn't notice.
Yeah, the barman, like, he's a blue stick man,
yeah.
And he's wearing a jacket of some kind.
But not any pants.
No.
I noticed that the bar was named Billiards.
Billiards.
Which is fun.
Well, because there was a billiards table inside.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can't think of like another bar that's named like slot machine.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, Joe comes in, fucks everything up, and then some military guys come, or some police guys come, and they fail to stop Joe Zombie. One thing that I did enjoy is that the SWAT team have... their voice clips are from Worms.
Yes, I noticed that.
There's one, oh no! And there's one, what the... Yeah, there's not that much to say about the original. It's just like, violence happens.
Violence
and then
happens.
Right at the end, right at the end, an alien shows up.
Oh, yeah.
Captures Joe Zombie and takes him away. Although, originally, he doesn't bring the Joe orb with him.
He just leaves it and then comes back and it's like, whoops, heh.
You liked that, though.
That was, yeah. It was funny in a kind of like a, all right.
Yeah, okay. And then, so that's the original trilogy. That's basically just like, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, less than a year later, Rob went back and revived Joe Zombie properly for a remastered edition. And you can really tell that a lot more effort and work has gone into it.
You really dropped the ball by not calling it, like, the reanimated version.
Oh, I know, right? Well, I mean, like, we were a couple of years off from Reanimate Your Feet.
Still.
Yeah, go back to episode 2, Flash fans.
Yeah.
So immediate differences.
The overall quality.
Yes.
It's
a lot more cinematic.
All the characters are voiced by Microsoft Sam.
Yes!
One of the first two episodes.
Yep, Microsoft Sam does the voices, which is adorable, and which, again, was pretty common back in the day.
We find out that Joe Zombie is a big fan of Papa Roach.
Oh my gosh, yes. The music in this, though. Like, there's some CKY in there.
There's some CKY,
We hear the opening riff to Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me by U2, one of the lesser-known U2 songs.
All right, yeah.
Perhaps better known to some people as the song that Weird Al parodied for his song Cavity Search. Which is
did do that.
Which is a song about going to the dentist.
Yes, it is.
It's overall more cinematic. There's the violence is a lot more visceral.
Mm.
You know?
There's like, more of it in general.
There's a lot more of it in general, yeah. And this time Joe Zombie follows the survivors into Stickville. And at the appearance of the Stickville sign, you went, oh, of course.
Yes. Well, I mean...
Where else
would stick people live?
Yeah, it's like... oh, where do the characters in the Beano live? Oh, Beano Town.
Yeah, of course.
and then instead of going to a bar, he goes to a mall. But this is after stealing a police car. Because as a zombie, he can drive... And also shoot.
And shoot a gun.
He's more just like an incredibly violent superhero. Supervillain, rather.
That eats people.
Yeah. So, like, basically, Joe Zombie is Venom.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Venom could fit into a car.
If could if he tried really hard?
Are you just imagining Venom, like, trying to fit into, like, a Volkswagen Beetle or something?
Legs around his ears. that's a good mental image.
And he goes to a mall, he destroys the mall, and then the army show up with, like, 3D helicopters and stuff. And, like, on learning that it's actually Joe Rombie. Because Joe Rombie was his name before he became Joe Zombie, as we were reminded more than once.
Yes.
One of the police guys is like, get me Baxter. And then they get Baxter on the phone, and Baxter shows up, and he's like, hey, that C4 won't work on him. But then there's, like, there's an incredibly 2001-looking guy with, like, a beanie and blonde, shaggy hair, who's like, nah, it's cool, let's blow him up. But then that doesn't work.
It doesn't.
Because Joe Zombie is basically unkillable. And then everything blows up. Joe steals the van full of C4. And then... To be continued. And we will continue this.
Yeah.
But later on. Because I think this is a nice first taste of the Joe Zom.
Yeah. It's a good entry point into, like... the stick figure animation phenomenon, which continues now.
It really does, yeah.
Which is mind-blowing.
It really is.
I'm just mostly sad that we never got to learn what it was that they wanted him to write on the grave.
Yes, you're right.
He wrote R and I, because in the original, he just like draws a line, mm-hmm. and then that's it. And then in the remastered one, it's like R, I, and then it's like, what's
is it
going
to be like
R-I-P? Yeah, that's what I was like, is he just going to write Rip?
Maybe it's Rip Torn, his favourite. No? Okay.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
We'll never know.
So I've got a quick flash. For you. So Rob Denblaker, I already mentioned that he was one of the guys behind like the early wave of Violent Stickmen,
yes.
sticksuicide.com and
yes.
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
After Joe Zombie, he went on to join with three other guys in creating a webcomic that has gone on to enormous success, both in comic and animated form, which you have heard of.
Okay.
Cyanide and Happiness.
Who I recognise the name.
Rob Denblaker wow. is one of the Cyanide and Happiness guys.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. And Cyanide and Happiness, if you don't know, is a generally pretty good violent stick people comic.
Yeah. Like, it's a little bit more sophisticated.
There are like actual good jokes.
A little bit.
Yeah. And I actually got to meet Rob Denblaker at a convention once a while ago. Mm. And he signed a Cyanide and Happiness comic for me, and you can see it pinned up over there.
There it is.
And it's the one where a guy summons a genie, and the genie says that he can't wish for more wishes, and so the guy's like, okay, I wish for more genies. And the genie in the last panel is surrounded by other genies, and he just says, fuck.
Didn't you ask him about Joe Zombie?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And because obviously it's a perpetual work in progress thing.
Yeah.
And he said that he would love to get back to it at some point. And he did draw me a picture, which I can't find. It's somewhere. It's somewhere in like all of my old like con swag and so on.
Oh wow!
But he did draw me a picture of Joe Zombie eating a Cyanide and Happiness guy.
Awesome.
Yeah, which was pretty cool.
I'm glad that he remembers how to draw Joe Zombie.
I mean, it's not hard.
No.
But like, as you can imagine, when I first watched this at age 10 or 11, I was blown away.
Yeah.
Like, this stuff was, especially the 3D effects.
Mm.
Like, there's some stuff from he imported from, like, Swift 3D or something.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is like a proper movie.
Mm.
I mean, it's not. But
no.
for an 11-year-old, this was intensely cool.
Yeah.
And, like, some of it, especially the noise that Joe, the zombie, makes, like, genuinely upset me a bit.
It is a little bit upsetting.
Yeah. As I often do for Flash R's, I went on Twitter, searched Joe Zombie, see what people said about it. Unfortunately, if you type in the phrase Joe Zombie, then it's mostly people talking about G.I. Joe zombies, which is like a range of G.I. Joe toys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but if only a couple of things. A couple of people like talking to Rob Denblaker saying, hey, when's the next Joe Zombie coming out? Yeah, in 2018 and that kind of stuff. But yeah, Rob Denblaker is on Twitter. He is still doing a lot of stuff. He's still doing Cyanide and Happiness things. He's working on other projects. A few years ago, Newgrounds.com celebrated the 13-year anniversary of Joe Zombie, to which Rob Denblaker replied on Twitter, wow.
Did it? Yeah. That is the kind of thing that would make you be like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm old.
I know, right? There's also a Kickstarter that is completely unrelated called Joe Zombie, which is ongoing.
It's met its goal.
Yeah, it's ongoing. It met its goal, and it's
time to party like a zombie in a hot tub.
Yep, it's a cool comic about a zombie called Joe. The world's greatest zombie, and it actually looks really cute.
It kind of does, yeah.
Yeah. But and I don't think Rob Denblaker has anything to do with it, but it's pretty cute.
Yeah.
But speaking of Rob Denblaker, he also, like someone else we've covered before, he also does a podcast now with the Cyanide and Happiness guys.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
They've done fewer episodes than we have, so take that, Rob. You with your internet dollars. We got here first.
It's not a competition.
No, it's not. But their podcast is called Here's an Idea, and it looks pretty fun, actually.
Cool. Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah, check it out on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever else you get podcasts.
Mm.
Yeah. So, let's finish up with some Joe Zombie comments.
Oh, yes.
Or Joe Zomance, if you want.
I don't, but thank you for offering that.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting me know now. Okay, so we got some comments from the original OG Joe Zombie.
Yeah.
Doody the Clown Fan gave... That name made you make a face.
Mm-hmm.
Gave it 5 stars and said, OMG, horror meets stick people. I especially like you bringing horror and stick figures together. And Joe Zombie is a cool guy.
No, keep it up. Not.
I'll revive all your Joe Zombies and vote at least 3 on each one.
Joe Zombie was not a cool guy.
Like
he had several brains.
No, in the first one, the only thing you see in the very, very first episode is Joe Zombie wake up and kill a guy.
Oh, okay.
That's fair. It.
All right, yeah, okay.
Do you want to take the next one?
Bobby Friend.
Bobby Frained.
Bobby Frained, sorry. Bobby Frained. In March 18, 2001. Most incredible cinematic violence ever. A keeper.
Bless.
5 out of 5.
Bless. I fucked yo mama again. Said, that sucked. That was some stupid shit. And gave it 1.5 stars. And similarly, Frank 2982 also gave it 1.5 stars, saying, look out, Rob Lewis, sticksuicide.com, not stickdeath.com, pretty original if you ask me, partner. I just think it's a bad ripoff of Super Beast. I am not gonna even watch any more of your stuff.
That's
bye now.
That's pretty funny if you read it like it's being typed by a cowboy.
Why would it be
pretty original if you ask me, partner?
Better than the original, if you ask me, partner.
Exactly.
I sure like these violent stick animations, Pilgrim.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, like, I chose this one because you get a little snippet of, like, the feud between violent stick animation sites. Like, oh yeah, Stick Suicide, not Stick Death. Haha, uh-huh. See what you did there, wow. Rip-off. Also, a lot of people were comparing this to a previously existing violent stick person cartoon, which we'll probably get to at some point, called Super Beast, which is basically a similar premise, but not a zombie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's weird there was this weird, like, vicious rivalry between Stick Suicide and Stick Death, because, like, the only other kind of comparison I can come up with is, like, there was a ton of other, like, Halo Machinima apart from Red vs. Blue, and no one gave a shit. I don't know why. Maybe it's because Red vs. Blue is, like, the only popular one.
Yeah.
And everything else only, like, got, like, a marginal amount of popularity in comparison. Yeah.
Well, you know, this was 2001.
Yeah.
You know? Like, this was an untamed wild land that was only starting to feel the wrath of Web 2.0.
Fair,
you know?
Fair.
Here, take the next one.
Asian Psycho. April 29th, 2001. Heh. LOL, this is funny, especially when that one superior dude came out, then he forgot about the zombie. Lol, heh, oops. Pretty good for stick figures. Rotful Lamau, roll on the floor, laughing my ass off.
3 out of 5 stars.
3 out of 5 stars.
See, this is even like this is back in the day when people explained
what that meant.
Even Rotful Lamau.
I'm glad to see they dropped the T.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just unnecessary.
Language evolves over time.
It's true,
you know?
Yeah. Just ask Webster.
I know, right? So yeah, and some comments on the remakes. Tits All Good gave it three stars, said, really good, I didn't like the 3D stuff, to overdone. Yeah.
Still liked it quite a bit though, 3 out of 5.
Yeah, yeah. Mopzig gave it 4 out of 5 and said, roar! Yes, another zombie movie. However, I feel you've put so much detail into the Styx characters that you might as well make them normal people. Still, rocks!
I mean, it's a lot less effort to make them Styx, which is probably why.
Which is why so many people did it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do like that even when, like, the 3D gets a lot more sophisticated and the music and, like, just the timing and the cinematography get a lot more ambitious... Like, the walk cycles of the stick people are still very simple and bad.
Yes.
Here, you can take the last one we have here.
Brooklyn Brett, February 18th, 2002. No, not Joe Zombie. Joe Zombie used to be funny. What the hell are you thinking, trying to make him scary or intense? He is not. He's a goofy stick figure and he chews on people's heads. There's nothing scary about the cute animation, and what the hell was up with the army people talking? This isn't some Hollywood movie. It's Joe Zombie. I want to laugh when he chews heads off, not feel like I'm watching some BTB, some BTV special.
Yeah.
BTV.
Well,
you meant B-movie.
Yeah, but like a TV special, which is even worse than a regular B-movie.
I see.
Yeah. So this, you know, this shows that, like, even though it's an improvement in pretty much every way, you can say, in terms of craft.
Some people hate change.
Well, not just that they don't like change, just they didn't like the direction that Rob was taking it.
Mm.
He was taking it into a more serious, like, story direction, and they just wanted, like, rando violence and funnies.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
That is fair.
But, you know, like, even back in the day, even 16 years ago... you know, internet people could still be very disappointed by cartoons. Yeah.
Things don't change very much, do they?
No. Not really.
No.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, I don't think we have time to get to our postbox this episode.
Not this episode.
But keep them coming in.
Yes.
Because we have been really enjoying some of your... Let's do a big postbox next time.
We will, yes.
Because I put out the call on Twitter for a prompt for people to call it. So, like, definitely write in. And we've had a couple of these already, and they're very good, but we'll save them.
Oh.
So please keep emailing in to flashinthepancast@gmail.com with your discussions or queries or anything about crossovers. Who would win in a fight? Who would kiss? All that good stuff. Because some of the stuff we've got already is amazing, and I think we should just set some time aside next time to explore this stuff.
Good. All right, I'm really looking forward to it now.
Yep. And... So yeah, Alex, where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at Dex01. I have a Bandcamp page, alexvalentine.bandcamp.com. I compose the theme for the show, and I also have a YouTube channel where I do a lot of different Let's Play videos at youtube.com/VNDLP.
And you've got another one coming up soon, haven't you?
Oh, right, yeah. I am planning to start a new LP, not what people expect, very, very soon.
Yep, and it's going to be great fun. Meanwhile, you can find me on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins. That's at Gertrude, P-R-K-N-S. And if you want to find us, you can go to...
at FlashITPancast on Twitter.
That's at FlashItPancast on Twitter. And, of course, as we said at the top of the show, you can visit our website, flashinthepancast.com. And, yeah, that's all for us from now. And until next time, let's get jiggy with it.
Good.
Blam this piece of crap. Flash in the Pancast!